love a motorcycle slash car chase.
It's like Dune up in here.
It really is.
I just said Dune. It's like Doom.
It really is. You're still not going to be able to edit around that.
Take but, two. Kim.
And I'm Katie, and we're here to talk about singing and dancing and Bollywood. I don't even know.
Boys Bollywood and girls. Spies?
Spies, absolutely. Yeah. Agents. Yeah.
Bollywood mm-hmm. agents. I know, I guess they do just call them agents, and they don't really talk about like who they're agents for.
Right. They just work for the agency.
The agency. This is Citadel Honey Bunny.
Yeah, it is. Episodes 1-3.
Mm-hmm.
First half. Mm-hmm.
What are you thinking so far?
I'm really enjoying it.
Me too.
Yeah, like, I thought the first two episodes were fun, and now that the third one, like, we're really getting into the meat.
Yes.
Of everything, which I'm sure we'll talk about our hopes and dreams
for
the second half of the series, like, at the end of our 1-3 recap, but...
Uh-huh.
Yeah, no, I was bummed I had to stop.
Me too. I really wanted to keep watching. I didn't.
Yeah,
but I really
I'm proud
wanted
of you.
To. Thank
I was
you.
Like, I assumed you wouldn't, but also I was like, I wouldn't be surprised if Kim did continue and just like holds that in.
Pretended that I didn't. I know, I don't trust myself to not like accidentally let something slip. So yeah.
Yeah.
That's really That's the fair. Main reason, not any sort of like morality or integrity. It was exactly what I was hoping it would be, like, just in terms of the kind of the type of comedy, the type of action. It just was hitting exactly the notes that I was expecting it to hit and wanted it to hit. I really loved it. I did feel like the dialogue was a little stilted at times. Like, some of the moments where, like, characters were doing exposition through dialogue, I was a little bit like, this could have been put in a little bit more smoothly.
Yeah.
But... That's a minor complaint. I really enjoyed all of it.
There were like two moments I can think of where I'm like, this is so clunky. No human being would actually say this. Like, this is just the writers being like, okay, we got to tell the audience this bit. And the things that we were being told, I'm like, I don't actually think we needed that detail.
Right. Yeah. And it was funny too, because they were so clever in how they did a lot of the other exposition.
Yeah.
That... It was like, why, where did you go for just
I don't
this
know.
One line?
Yeah. It was almost like they then second-guessed themselves and then wrote in these, like, one-sentence bits.
Yeah, like, how we really need to underline this, so let's just throw in an extra line about it. Yeah. But yeah, really loved it. I can't wait to find out more about how this all connects to the larger Citadel universe.
Yeah.
Because obviously we know Nadia, we know where she ends up, but... Yeah, just all the ins and outs of it all, who they're working for is still a mystery.
Right, because Citadel itself is still, like, a mystery.
Right.
You know, like...
Yeah.
I have goosebumps. I'm really enjoying it. I'm very excited to talk about it. Very excited to watch the second half. But before we delve into that...
Yes, we've got some business to attend to.
Yes, because we normally... And we were not planning to have research, but... Kim has a good one that I want to hear about. So
I know. I like to think it's good. Well, so we've talked about the YouTuber Drew Vrati before. We've talked about some of the stuff that we've learned from his YouTube videos. He made a video a few weeks ago following the U.S. presidential election about the potential impact of a Trump presidency on India. Mm-hmm. And I've been wanting to watch this video since I saw that it came out on YouTube, but I have... been in denial. Yeah. I have been in a mourning period. But I finally felt up to watching this. And knowing that this was probably going to be a quieter week for us anyway, I figured this would be a good time to slot it in.
Yeah, I am very interested.
Yeah. So Dhruv starts off talking about how weird America's election system is. And Katie, I know I don't need to tell you because you're an American. Yeah. But basically, like... We have this weird system where we, like, don't really vote for our president and it's yeah. weird and stupid.
You vote for the people who vote.
Who vote, yeah, and your state can only go one of two ways. So, yeah, it's weird. It's just weird. But mm-hmm. he clarifies also that we weren't just voting for our president. We were also voting for seats in our Senate as well as our House of Representatives. Yep. And he compares the House of Representatives to the Lok Sabha, or the House of the People in the Indian Parliament, and the Senate to the Council of States, which I'm sorry, I didn't write down the not English term for that, the Council of States. But just in case there's anybody listening who wasn't aware of how that works in the U.S., what our different groups are. And following our election at the start of this month, all of those are conservative. All of those are Republican. The Republican Party took the presidency, has a majority in both the House and the Senate. Mm-hmm. So Dhruv talks about the 2016 election, which is one of many examples of a time when a Republican became president, even though they lost the popular vote because of this stupid electoral college system that we have in the U.S. So that's what led to Trump's first presidency. And I don't think it's hard to kind of point to that, to what happened there and Trump losing the popular vote, but winning the presidency, and just see, you know, a whole chain of events that if we didn't have this system set up in this way, America would be a different place. Like, it just would be. It's not even necessarily can we say it would be better or worse. It just it would be different.
It would. I mean, we would have elected Al Gore.
Yeah, because Al Gore also won the popular vote in 2004.
2004?
Early 2000. It was either 2000 or 2004.
Neither one of us could vote.
Exactly, yeah. So we just were getting it from our parents. So, and this also means then that, like, there's these states where their vote matters more than others. And neither Katie nor I live in states where our votes feel like they matter all that much. So I just wanted to throw that out there, too.
Yeah.
So that's just a little bit of context. So on to actual potential implications for Indian people. And I'm talking not people who are Indian who identify as Indian American. I'm talking predominantly people who live in India and people who consider themselves NRIs.
Okay, yep.
So last year, around 1,100 Indians were deported from the U.S., most of whom entered the country through the Dunkey process, which we now know a lot about. Mm-hmm. In his first presidency, Trump also made it harder for people to get the type of legal work visa that many Indians have used to come into the U.S., this being the H-1B visa. 72% of people who have that visa are Indian.
Okay.
The denial rate for that visa jumped from 6% in 2016 when Trump was elected to 24% in 2018, a couple years into his presidency. They also raised the costs of this process. They made it more complicated. And Trump at some point referred to this visa, the H-1B, as a theft of American prosperity. Mm. Obviously, this is probably the most direct impact is Trump's determination now to do what he has called, like, the biggest deportation in U.S. history, which is just scary and horrible and alarming. And I don't think we need to specify that Katie and I are both very much in favor of immigrants being in our country.
Well, not to mention that just, like, the statistics and the research and the facts, like, the actual facts show that immigrants' presence in our country actually leads to a better economy. Which apparently everyone's just ignoring because that's what the white base wants to hear.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's all racism.
It's all racism. Yeah. And, you know, the big kind of the cry from conservatives is that, and led to this by leaders like Trump in the party, is that immigrants commit crimes, commit more crimes, commit violent crimes, which has just been proven time and time again to not be true. They're actually less likely to commit violent crimes. So, yeah, it's just a bunch of lies.
Yeah.
Bunch of phooey. But that, your mention of the economy, it, you know, brings up another of the main reasons that Trump was elected. People decided that they felt so he was going to be better for our economy. Dhruv talks about this potential impact on India as well. Apparently, trade between India and the U.S. was very favorable for India under Biden's administration. India's economy was impacted by tariffs imposed during Trump's first administration, and that will likely happen again.
Yeah, that's a big selling point for him.
Yeah. And of course, climate change, which Reti says is the biggest danger to the world of a Trump presidency. Mm-hmm. Trump took us out of the Paris Agreement during his first term and is likely to do it again. He has said that he is considering doing it again.
Yep.
And Dhruv in his video says the rest of the world will bear the brunt of American pollution and carbon emissions.
Yeah.
I noticed some people in the comments of Dhruv's video asking why he didn't address the conflict in the Middle East and Trump's foreign policy as it relates to war in the Middle East, as well as the ongoing mm-hmm. war in Ukraine. I don't know whether those people were saying, like, well, why didn't you talk about this, though? Like, this is a good thing that Trump's doing. Or were like, why didn't you talk about this? This is also a dangerous... Like, I don't know what side of the coin those folks fall on. And I'm not going to pretend to be an expert on foreign policy, but considering that Republicans in Congress blocked bills designed to support Ukraine in order to get their own agendas passed, and considering that Trump is rumored to have told Netanyahu to stall peace talks until after mm-hmm. the U.S. election,
mm-hmm.
I think it's pretty safe to assume that for most Americans, a preference for Trump's foreign policy approach is more rooted in sexism than it is in any actual faith in what he'll be able to do. And the common sentiment that Kamala, as a woman, would not have been able to, like, handle foreign policy, particularly where it relates to escalations. They want someone who's going to be strong, you know, without any real definition of exactly what it means.
Quote unquote masculine.
Yeah. Things. It's like, we want someone who's going to be like, have a powerful response to the war. And it just, it's like, okay, what does that mean? What are the implications of that? And why did you think Kamala couldn't do that?
She's like, pretty strong.
She is very strong. Yeah, you have to be a woman who gets as powerful, to be a person who becomes as powerful as she is. So, yeah, so that's, I wanted to share this. It was interesting to kind of see a person from a different country's perspective on what the implications of this could be, and no real surprises, but it's a scary time, and there's certainly implications for the rest of the world for choices that other countries have made in terms of who their leaders are and that those leaders have made in terms of what they're doing. And it's just, I think, important to remember the interconnectedness of it all. We share this space and
thank you.
Yeah.
That's upsetting. Like, I'm upset.
I know. This is why I wanted to do it first.
Yeah.
Because I want to be able to end on a good, fun, honey bunny note. But, it really sucks that it happened. Like, I've kind of moved out of denial, but I'm still, like, in shock, I would say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's
shift over to Citadel.
Yeah, let's do it.
Kim has a recap of the actual show Citadel for us, right?
Yes. I appreciate you doing my
sorry
teeing me up. Like, and here's Kim. So, recapping super, super quickly, Citadel. So we've got two agencies, Citadel and Manticore, both claim to be on the right side of history, but they both do extremely questionable things.
Yeah.
So that's rough. All of the series, I feel, so other than Honey Bunny, because we haven't really even talked about Citadel or Manticore yet in Honey Bunny, but Citadel and then Diana, the Italian spinoff, both really are setting up Citadel to be the good guys.
Mm-hmm.
But we also know that there are weak links in that structure.
Mm-hmm.
And Mason Kane, who we're introduced to in the core series of Citadel, is one of these weak links, and we come to understand that he was instrumental in a full-on takedown of Citadel.
Mm-hmm.
So this agency for the last, 8 years, as we're rejoining these characters, has been just completely annihilated. And Manticore has been assuming that they successfully wiped out every Citadel agent.
Just one moment. They love an 8-year gap.
Was that definitely the time gap between... Because I just wrote that down, but I don't remember if it's right.
No, I'm pretty sure it was. It was, like, 8 years between the train
and
then events kicking off.
Yeah. Which I also think is funny because, like, the young actor who they have play Mason Kane's daughter in Citadel is, like, 14 or 15. Like,
she's way too old.
She's way too old. She's maybe not 14 or 15, but she's, like... And I don't just mean the actor. I know actors are, like, always older than they actually play. Right. But, like, no. She looks...
Yeah, like...
Like she's in middle school.
Max, she's, like, supposed to be, you know, just over 7.
Right.
And that's literally if they got pregnant.
Yeah. Which I do...
Soon after meeting.
I do feel like that could be their story, you know? They, yeah. like, met, they hooked up, they got pregnant, they decided to stick around a bit. Anyway, there's a whole other character that I wasn't even going to talk about who he has a baby with. But so that's where the core series begins, with the Citadel agents getting wiped out, but we know some of them survive, including Kane and his once paramour, Nadia Singh, and Diana Cavalieri, who we meet in Citadel Diana, which I loved. I really, really liked Diana.
I'm excited to watch it.
Yeah, I distinctly did not put in any kind of spoilers about
Thank
it because
you.
I knew you would want to watch it. But so... Citadel also has this ability to wipe agents' memories, and so Kane and Nadia both had their memories wiped. Diana didn't, but she's not a part of the core series yet. Diana continues to work undercover within Manticore, essentially biding her time and getting close to the Zani family, who run Manticore Italy and are the agency's chief weapon developers.
Okay.
We also learn in Citadel that Nadia had a child by Kane right before Citadel fell, and she hid her daughter, Asha, away with the help of her father, Rahi Gambhir. Rahi is referred to as a known terrorist at several points throughout Citadel, and because of her connection with Rahi, Nadia is suspected of being the Manticore mole, but at the very end of the last episode of Season 1, we learn... as I already said, that it was actually Kane. He's got this whole past that we didn't know about. His mom's big in Manticore and really scary.
Yeah.
And yeah, so I that was sort of a disjointed recap, but there's this interesting dynamic within all of the series about, like, who is good, who is bad, can good people do bad things and still be good people. And I feel like this is kind of all exemplified by Mason Kane, who clearly thinks of himself as a good person, but then he gets his memories back and has to live with this reality of his betrayal.
Yeah.
And that's, I'm really looking forward to whenever we get Citadel Season 2 and we get to see him grapple with that.
Cool. I'm excited about this.
Yeah. I think it's a cool world that they're building. And I will say, too, I definitely enjoyed Citadel more watching it the second time. I do think it's the kind of thing that I enjoy more with half my attention as opposed to all of my attention. Yeah.
See, it's good that, like, the ones that you need to read the subtitles for are... attention
more
grabbing.
Compelling. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Diana is, it's slower, I would say, but I found all the dynamics really interesting. And yeah. And sort of similar to Honey Bunny, it's Diana definitely has more of the larger politics right from the start, but it also just feels kind of very individual. It's like this one sort of series of a few days and this one agent kind of doing things throughout it. But then you get the context of the backstory and everything.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Excellent.
Thanks for that recap because I had tried to finish watching Citadel and did not complete it before starting Honey Bunny.
That's
so
fair.
That's fine. But yeah, let's start by introducing our cast. So Citadel Honey Bunny was written and directed by Raj and DK. There's a ton of other writers credited on this project, but yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it stars Varun Dhawan as Bunny, Samantha, who her name is just Samantha on the intro, like, credits.
Yeah, which was interesting. I mean, I've always seen her referred to as Samantha Ruth Prabhu, but...
Yeah.
Samantha is, you know, like, we all know who she is.
Whether she goes as Samantha or Samantha Ruth Prabhu, she's Honey. Incredible.
Yep.
Like, I'm just loving her performance.
Yeah, she's amazing.
Yeah. And also just loving how female-centered it is, that it's, like, really focused on this relationship between this mother and her daughter. Love that.
Yeah.
Then we have K.K. Menon as... IMDb says Guru.
Yeah.
I've been calling him Vishwa.
Yeah.
But Vishwa is also evidently not his real name. So, yeah, he will be referred to as Vishwa. And then we have Kashvi Majmundar as Nadia.
Yeah.
She's delightful.
She is delightful. One other thing I wanted to say about my rewatch of Citadel was I don't feel like I fully appreciated how much I like the character of Nadia and Priyanka Chopra Jonas's portrayal of her in Citadel the first time around. But this, I really like, she plays her with this, like, kind of cold, like, distant energy. And I think watching Honey Bunny, it just makes so much sense. Like, seeing the difference between Honey in the earlier timeline and later, it just, it's like, this is so clear that, like, this is where she got this from. Like, this is, this is the energy you have when you need to get a job done.
Like, the stoicism. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And another note, too, like, I can believe that, like, Samantha would have a daughter who looks like Priyanka.
Sure.
I don't know. I kind of liked, I was like, oh, this actually, like, makes sense.
Yeah. For me. And I think it's as much, like, a physical appearance thing as it is a bearing. Presence. Like,
yeah.
Like, a way of carrying themselves, which I do think is a credit to Samantha's performance in her ability to emulate Priya's performance enough that you feel that relationship without it feeling like she's copying anything.
Right. It's very, much its own thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
So, yay, ladies.
Yay. We love ladies.
We do. We do love the ladies.
Let's get into it. We've got three episodes to cover. Episode one, dancing and fighting.
Two of our favorite things.
Yeah. Yeah. So we open in 2000 Nanital, and a woman drops her daughter off at school. This is Honey and her daughter, Nadia. Honey then goes to work at her cafe with her friend, Vivek.
Uh-huh.
They have a nice relationship.
Yeah.
She then goes to the market to pick up some produce, but she sees a suspicious-looking man, and so she starts to walk away, and he follows.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So Honey hides away and pages Nadia in the middle of French class. Nadia immediately, like, gets her stuff and sneaks out the window of the classroom.
Mm-hmm.
And this right away, it's just like, Nadia is sassy, she's competent, she's capable.
And also has a weird childhood.
Yeah. Really weird childhood.
Probably didn't have much opportunity to address that, but
no.
These are the assumptions I'm making. I do also really love that there's a boy who tries to, like, get the teacher's attention. He sees her sneaking out of the room and she, like, hands him some money.
Yeah. It's just like, cool. No. Yeah. Nadia then goes to the cinema and takes a seat, and then she sends a message over the pager that just says cinema.
Mm-hmm.
It is kind of sad when you think about how much Honey must have, like, trained her.
Drilled this, yeah.
Yeah. Oh. But, I mean, then you start to see more of Honey's life, and it's like, well, yeah, okay.
It makes sense, yeah.
This is what you do to survive. But meanwhile, Honey continues walking away from this suspicious-looking man, grabbing a hammer to use as a weapon. As she raises the hammer to strike him, another guy appears from behind her and punches her, knocking her out.
Yeah.
We then see them driving with Honey tied up and unconscious in the trunk. Then we go back in time to 1992 Bombay.
It's a good year.
Yes. That's when Kim was born.
A lot of good stuff came out of 92. Me, Shah Rukh Khan's career.
Yes, so true.
The start of a lot of important things.
We see a glistening man wearing a very low tank top stroll out of a building, get on a motorcycle, jump it up a ramp, and then shoot at some bad guys holding a woman hostage.
Yeah.
It's a lot. But then a director yells cut, and it becomes obvious that this man, Bunny, is a stuntman.
Yeah.
And as this is happening, a younger Honey is in an audition for a movie role.
Mm-hmm.
And afterward, the director tells her one-on-one that she has what it takes to be a superstar, but she has to be committed to doing whatever it takes.
Yeah. Like,
and he puts his hands on her shoulders as he says this, and it's really gross. And so Honey abruptly knees him in the groin.
Excellent.
As she should.
Excellent stuff.
But she definitely did not get that role.
No, no. It probably would have been really rough working on that film set. So
yes, maybe very for the best. Fair, yeah.
I, like, immediately when she is in that audition and the room is just men, it's just men watching her, I was just like, no, I don't like that. And I hate to think about the reality that that must be for a lot of people. But
yeah.
It's a topic
especially
for another day.
Like, before it was widely talked about. Mm-hmm. Like, it's bad enough still.
Right.
But at least there's a little more transparency.
And a little more support for the voices that come out.
Right.
Saying what's happened to them.
Yeah. 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 Honey and Bunny then meet up because they're friends. And Honey says she really wanted that role, and now she's going to be on the streets because she hasn't been able to pay her rent for a few months. She says that she feels useless and that she's done with trying to make it as an actor. Bunny says that she's not useless and she's destined to achieve big things. And he offers to give her money to help, but she refuses. So instead, Bunny offers her a job as an actor, but in real life. Mm-hmm. All she'd have to do is spend 30 minutes with someone. And Honey rightfully says that sounds shady, and she's like, nope. But then she returns to her apartment to find that all of her stuff has been put out on the street, and she's been evicted.
Yeah.
In the rain, too, yeah. Which is just, like, insult to injury.
Seriously.
Meanwhile, Bunny is discussing a mission with his two friends, Chaco and Ludo, about an arms dealer who is coming to Bombay. They're planning to break into this guy's hotel room and steal a high-tech device. Mm-hmm. Also fun to remember that this is the early 90s.
Right, and nobody knows what a disc is going to look like.
Yeah, yeah, it's so good. As this is happening, Honey thinks about his offer some more, and then she goes to Bunny's apartment to say that she'll do the job, and she asks him what she has to do. Mm-hmm. Then we go back to the future. 2000.
Which is still the past.
Yeah, which is still the past. It's all very interesting. Honey starts to wake up in the trunk of this car as Nadia's movie ends, and Nadia hides under the seats so no one notices she's still there. Honey is able to type out a message to Nadia telling her to call V. So Nadia makes the call, and Vivek says that he'll pick her up. Mm-hmm. Back in 1992, Honey acts out a fight with a fake boyfriend in the lobby of a fancy hotel, and David, the arms dealer, walks in with his henchmen, only to be sufficiently distracted and entertained by this very dramatic fight.
Her performance here made me laugh out loud. Like, this and all really the stuff good. At the bar, too, in a minute. Like, she yeah. just, she was so funny.
It was great. And, like, yeah, I love that it's the Raj and DK, like, tongue-in-cheek kind of humor. It's not, right. like, over the top.
Right.
It's pointed. You know when they, yes. like, they're slipping it in and it hits, like.
Yeah.
It reaches its target.
It's yeah. funny because of how real it could be.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, it just makes me think of Guns and Gulabs. Like, the love letter and all that.
Yeah, this did make me want to rewatch Guns and Gulabs.
Yeah, yeah. But the fake boyfriend leaves and Honey goes to the hotel bar for a drink. And David falls for this trap and he joins her asking if she's okay. I love that he's just like, oh, you know, guys are scum. He didn't deserve you. And she's like, yeah, well, I only slept with his cousin yeah. and his friend. Like, come on. It's so good.
Very funny.
While that's going on, Bunny and his guys break into David's hotel room looking for this tech they want to steal. They crack the safe, but what they're looking for isn't there, so they assume that it must be in David's pocket. The guys head back out of the hotel and meet up with Honey again out in the parking lot. Who ditched David in the midst of his advances. Mm-hmm. Like, she was like, okay, great. Done talking to this
Gotta
guy.
Gotta go. Yeah.
Yep. And she says she can get close enough to David to get the tech, but she wants triple the money from Bunny. Mm-hmm. Honey does end up getting David to take her back to his hotel room, which I love how easy it is for her. Like, he called her a bad word when she ditched him the first time, but then yeah. she just shows up again and
all
is like...
She, yeah, all she has to do is the thing he wanted her to do at the first place, yeah. and he's like, yeah, I'm over it.
So ridiculous.
Men are so easy to manipulate.
Yeah, yeah. And in his hotel room, she slips something into his drink that knocks him out. Mm-hmm. She successfully steals the disc and puts it in her purse, but as she's about to leave, David wakes up and grabs her.
Yeah.
Very scary.
Very scary.
She tries to get away, but she ends up getting interrogated by David and three of his henchmen. Then there's like a whole scene outside where Ludo and Chaco are like, let's just go, man, to Bunny. Like,
yeah.
let's just leave. And Bunny's like, no, we can't just abandon this woman.
Right. She's a civilian.
Right. Obviously, you can't just abandon her. Like, what?
No, yeah.
Whatever. So Bunny takes off running to help her, as he should. Mm-hmm. And as the interrogation continues, Bunny just really casually walks into the hotel yeah. room. And then he starts fighting all the dudes until they're all on the ground. And Bunny and Honey take off running with the disc.
Yep.
Then David calls for backup. And so we see a bunch of dudes, like, getting cars and on motorcycles and stuff to come to the hotel. And they arrive just as Bunny's gang takes off on their motorcycles. I also love that as they're fleeing, like, there's a truck that drives across their path and Honey screams, yes. No sliding, no sliding. And I love this moment because I was like, obviously in most Bollywood films, that's what would happen. They'd just slide under this truck.
And they'd be fine.
Yeah. And Bunny turns the motorcycle at the last second to go around the truck. And he's like, are you crazy?
Like, why would we even do that?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's exactly the kind of humor that we all came here for.
Yeah. It's really good. One of Bunny's friends gets shot and falls off his motorcycle. Right. I guess Ludo's not necessarily there. Ludo's probably the guy in the chair. Mm-hmm. Whatever. It's fine.
Yeah.
But it's kind of even because Bunny shoots a couple of bad guys off their motorcycles. Then Honey gets shot.
Yeah.
And she falls off the back of Bunny's motorcycle. So she's not dead. She's not dead, obviously.
There's a lot more from Honey.
Yeah. Bunny goes back to get her, and they ride off. Meanwhile, the head bad guy, whose car got T-boned by a bus, which took him out of the fight, gets out of his car. So he's okay, which is bad news for Bunny. Because then this bad guy, Sean, goes to a big fancy building where he meets a fancy lady behind a big fancy desk.
A lot of fancy happening. A
lot of fancy stuff. This woman, Zuni, asks him if it was Vishwa. And Sean says he thinks so because they were all pros. Zuni reprimands him for losing the device, saying that Project Talwar was started to rid the world of people like Vishwa. She then gives us some helpful information by saying they don't even know who Vishwa is, just that that's his cover name.
Yeah.
Like, that didn't feel needed, but...
Right. Yeah, that did feel very, very pointed. Can I just really quickly point out the fact that Sean is played by Sikander Kerr, who I have a crush on. So just wanted to put it out there.
Love that.
Wanted it to be known.
I know, I didn't really pay much attention to Sean.
But, he doesn't do a lot. I know, I knew that he was in this, and I was like, I hope he's in this more.
We might get more from him.
He's a bad guy, so I'm like not rooting for him, but I do want to look at him.
But Kim, is he a bad guy or is he a good guy?
That's true, actually. We don't know. He's
We don't know.
He's in opposition to our heroes.
Yes, for now.
Yes, but we don't, Yes. Thank you for giving me hope. Ooh,
anything could happen.
Yeah.
Cut to a man preparing food, and Bunny shows up at this guy's apartment and tells him that David correctly guessed that they were working for him, Vishwa. This is Vishwa. Vishwa says that this means Project Talwar is operational. He then asks Bunny how Honey is, and Bunny says she's injured, but she'll be fine. His friend who fell, however, is dead.
Yeah.
And Vishwa says that this is their war and they'll live and die by it. It's a necessary sacrifice. He's very utilitarian.
Yeah. It's like you're not out there riding motorcycles, getting shot at, but whatever.
Yeah. And, you know, there's something a little bit suspicious about a guy who's just picking up orphans from an orphanage and then training them to be assassins.
Yes. Yeah. I wrote that down later. Like, it's very manipulative.
Yeah. Yeah. And the whole thing, they all call him father.
Right.
He, like, dangles that over their heads. Yeah.
It's weird.
It's messed up. Yeah. This guy's weird. Vishwa has some vibes that I'm not totally into.
Yep. I agree.
But then we are in 2000 Bucharest. And Bunny is now a guitarist and backup singer in a band playing a chill gig.
Can I just observe how he is playing the guitar in the middle of a song and then he just stops and, like, takes a drink of his water and then, like, starts again? And I'm like, that's not how that works.
That's not how music works. Yeah. Yeah.
You're the only guitar in this three-man band.
Yeah.
You don't just stop.
Thanks for noticing that.
Anyway.
As our resident musician.
I know. Well, I always just like to watch how poorly people fake play instruments in these movies. So that was that was pretty egregious.
That is, that's very fair. I don't... Someone directed that who has never picked up a guitar in their life.
Yeah.
And in the middle of the night, Bunny wakes up to a dream of the night Honey got shot. And then his phone buzzes. In Nanatel, Vivek asks Nadia where Honey is, and she tells him that she'll be here, because in these situations, you have to be patient.
Yeah.
Like, I also love that Nadia's just like, oh yeah, honey is cool. She'll show up.
Yeah.
She gets into all sorts of stuff. It's fine. I also love that she calls her honey.
Right, yeah.
Which also is just another piece of evidence showing how Nadia is kind of forced to grow up.
It's like early. She doesn't really call her mom or necessarily have that relationship with her. No. It's honey.
Yeah. They're a team. And as Vivek and Nadia are talking, we see Honey break free of her restraints in the trunk and cut her way through the back seat to take out the two guys in the front seat. She then jumps out of the car before it goes flying over a cliff.
Yeah.
Vivek tucks Nadia into bed just as a bunch of menacing-looking dudes roll up outside the house.
Yeah.
They knock on the door and tell Vivek that Honey sent them to collect her daughter. Vivek very quickly susses out that these guys were not sent by Honey because they don't actually know Nadia's name. And then when he calls them on this, the main guy shoots him dead.
Yeah.
So that's a series wrap on Vivek.
Yeah. He was not long for this world. I thought he was going to come back in some kind of way, but no, he's just dead.
He had good sweaters and apparently made good pastries.
Yeah. R.A.P. Vivek.
Yep. He was a real one.
Thank you for your service.
Nadia hears a gunshot and she sneaks out of bed to see what's going on. Meanwhile, Honey is running down a road to try to make it home when she gets a message on her pager saying help.
Yeah.
Which is so like,
it's really scary.
It is scary. And like Nadia just being like, okay, mom, help.
Yeah.
In Bucharest, Bunny is doing computer stuff, and he logs on to a secure server to see the message, Honey is alive, you have a daughter, they are in danger.
Yeah, wow. What a...
That's a lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot to get hit with. That's the end of episode one.
Uh-huh.
So
I just was thinking, there's a lot of, like, daughters in this, you know? There's a lot of, like, secret daughters, mysterious daughters.
Yeah. Because it's also like Stanley Tucci's character has a daughter.
Right. Yeah.
Mason has a daughter. Nadia has a daughter. Honey has a daughter.
Mason's got two daughters.
Mason has two daughters. Yeah. Wow.
Two baby mamas.
A lot of ladies up in this biz.
A lot of ladies birthing ladies.
Yeah. Which is just like another thing I appreciate. Like, I didn't see a trailer at all for Honey Bunny, but I did. And this is maybe my own kind of, like, gender biases in play. I did assume that Bunny was going, like, that Varun's character was going to be the main character. And I don't know why I assumed that. Maybe just because I know of him more than I know of Samantha.
Yeah.
Obviously, he's important. And obviously, his story is told as well. But it does feel like Honey is the main character.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree with that.
Which is nice. Yeah. I enjoy that. Mm-hmm. Anyway, moving on to episode two, Talwar. We open to Bunny standing in front of an abandoned orphanage, and then we get a quick flashback to him as a little boy in Himachal Pradesh running around this orphanage.
Yeah.
Grown-up Bunny breaks in, and soon his childhood best friend, Chako, joins him. And they're so happy to see each other, because it's been like 8 years.
I was going to say before when you... Like, you mentioned Ludo, but then you were like, oh, no, he was probably not one of the guys that was there in that moment. It's hard to tell sometimes because they look very different. Like, Chaka became very bald in 8 years.
And had so much hair in the 90s.
Yeah, so much luscious hair to having not a single hair on his head. And I just, like, what happened to him?
It's very confusing.
Did he, like, become president? I don't know.
He, like, made a choice. Like, a bold, bold choice.
Maybe he's just fully bald by choice.
Yeah. That's kind of what I was thinking.
Okay. I was just assuming that he, like, because they kind of, like, ripped him for it, you know? Like, hey, you're bald now. I guess that's you're, like, true. Someone's bald dad.
Like, in your 30s.
Yeah.
Because, like, that's definitely, they're in their, like, late 30s, right? Like,
right. Yeah, maybe, well, and I know plenty of men who are, like, that bald in their 30s, but it's not a choice.
And it usually doesn't go from, like, luscious hair to nothing in 8 years.
They started being that bald a long time ago.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
They began that journey early in life.
So that's another continuity issue. But we get some more background info, which is, again, just a little exposition-y.
Yeah.
where Bunny reveals that their other friend Ludo was the one to let him know about Honey and their daughter. But they pick up some equipment and head out because, of course, Chaco is going to help his old friend, even though he's a family man now.
I know, they really keep drawing our attention to that.
Really do. He's a very sweet father, and now they could be calling our attention to that because Bunny just found out he's a dad.
Yeah.
Or they could be calling our attention to that so that it hurts even more when they kill Chaco.
Or it could also be that they're making us, like, really love Chaco so that when someone rolls... Because this happened in Fighter, too. There was the guy who, like, had the wife with him on the base, and we were like, well, that guy's definitely gonna die. But then they killed the other guy instead.
Oh, yeah. Because
it was, like, a red herring sort of thing, so it was, yes, like, even more shocking. So that could also be what that they're doing. We're prepared for anything to happen to Chaco.
Yeah. Like, Yeah. Well, Sadiq and Rais, he survived, so Chaco...
That's true, yeah.
...is probably gonna die.
Yeah, we can only get one friend making it to the end of these things in a season.
Yep. But we then see what happened with Nadia. So, after Vivek is killed, Nadia counts how many bad guys there are. 9.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of dudes.
She can't take them all.
Nope. And she puts on her coat, grabs her backpack, and sneaks out her bedroom window.
Mm-hmm.
She finds a safe location in town to hide, and she pages Honey to tell her where she is. Honey, on the street, is able to flag down a car, which she steals.
Yeah.
And she and Nadia are reunited, and they're all okay.
Yay.
Except Vivek, who is decidedly still dead.
He's dead.
Yeah. Yep. Bummer. So, then we go back to 1992, Bombay. We're back with Bunny meeting with Vishwa. And Bunny asks Vishwa to tell him about Project Talwar. Vishwa tells him about a system that could track anyone, including tracing anyone the targeted person has been in contact with.
Mm.
In the wrong hands, the system could essentially allow anyone to do anything, and that's why Vishwa has his best agent on it. But then that best agent got a civilian involved. And Vishwa reminds Bunny that as an agent, his only relationship should be to, quote-unquote, the family.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't like his agents forming attachments.
No. It's like, you need to stay only attached to me. That's why I chose you orphans who have no one else.
Yeah. It's a little messed up.
Very creepy.
Yeah. Also cool, though, that this is clearly, like, the God's Eye device that they use in Citadel.
Yeah.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Zuni, the evil fancy lady, is having her guys look at the security camera footage from the hotel, and they conclude that it was 4 guys and a honey trap, and the guys were professionals, but the woman is a small-time film actress.
Yeah.
It's like, don't call her small-time. She's fine.
It doesn't seem inaccurate, but it's rude and unnecessary to say.
Yeah. Zuni says that if they find her, they'll find the rest. And then we get a flashback of Honey's childhood, where... I'm a little confused as to who her father is, because she grew up, I said, adjacent to a fancy palace. Like, I don't think her family owned the palace.
I was under the impression that she was the illegitimate child of the, like, king or whatever.
That would make a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Okay, because she mentions her father later on, and I was like, okay, but there's no photos of you, but you do seem to be taken care of.
Yeah.
So... that makes a lot of sense. Thank you, Kibbs.
You're welcome.
These are the things that, like, I'm like, I didn't get that. Okay.
When you're going back and forth between your Amazon app and your Notes app, it's just hard to...
It really is. And growing up, Honey watched a show called Fearless Nadia.
Mm-hmm.
And she wanted to be, like, the show's heroine, so she learned to shoot and horseback ride with the help of one of the palace employees. Until one day, she was discovered by the king or guy who owned the palace, that fancy dude, who slaps her. And then we see her older, being married off to a man much, much older than her.
Yeah.
One day while he's sleeping, she plays at throwing bits of food into his open mouth, and she succeeds, and then he chokes and dies.
Yeah.
So that's that. I also like the way that they just, like, filmed this and just showed, like, yep, he's dead now.
Yeah, it's just like, you can put two and two together here.
Yeah.
She is unconcerned.
Yep. And that's when Honey leaves for Bombay.
Mm-hmm.
In present day 1992, because we're out of that flashback.
Because that was a flashback within a flashback.
Yes. Honey wakes up from her mini coma, only for Bunny to tell her that she has to forget her past life and the life she wanted to live because he had to erase every trace of her. She won't be able to act anymore because it's too dangerous. She'll have to become a completely new person, and Bunny offers to help her with this, promising that he can get her a new identity and set her up to live wherever she wants in India. Mm-hmm. But Honey pushes back, saying that she decides how she lives her life, not him.
Yeah, girl.
She's done with men dictating, like, how her life is gonna go.
Absolutely.
She then asks him to tell her about himself, because they've been friends for a while now, but she doesn't know anything personal about him.
Mm-hmm.
He tells her that when he was a child, his parents were both killed in an attempted robbery, mm-hmm. and that's why he grew up in an orphanage. That's where his mentor found him, and that's how he joined the agency.
Yes.
Honey then asks him if he's with the good guys or the bad guys, and Bunny dances around that answer, just saying that the work they do is necessary.
Yeah.
In 2000, Bunny and Chaco arrive in Nainital and go to an internet cafe. Bunny signs on to the secure server, but no one responds to his message. Meanwhile, the bad guys continue to search Honey's house, looking for a sign of Nadia, as Honey and Nadia drive to a building in the woods where they can safely spend the night. Finally, Bunny gets a response to his message, but his friend Ludo, who is on the other end, is unable to find Honey's location and therefore cannot send Bunny her coordinates. So instead, Bunny decides to go after the local base of the bad guys,
mm-hmm.
just in case Honey and Nadia are there.
The local bad guy base.
Yeah, of course. Every place has got one.
That should have been his first stop.
Yep. Then we go back to 1992 Bombay, where we see Ludo get to work decoding the disc while Bunny goes and plays with Honey. Bunny and Honey act out a bunch of dramatic shooting deaths, and it's really cute, and mm-hmm. they have a great time, and then they make out.
Yeah, because when you just end up in each other's laps, why not?
Yeah. And it's like, all right, they wanted this to
They're
end
both
there.
So hot. Like, I don't yeah. know how you would not just, yeah, make yeah. out.
The next morning, Honey tells Bunny that she wants to be an agent because at least that has purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And Bunny convinces Vishwa to allow this. And then we get a training montage of Honey learning how to fight and plant bugs and crack locks. And Ludo successfully decodes the drive. He then tells everyone about a guy named Dr. Raghu, who has been brought to India by Zuni. Together, Raghu and Zuni started a company called UA Tech, and UA Tech is bad news.
Mm.
Bunny learns that this Dr. Raghu will be traveling for the first time in years for a business conference in Belgrade. However, Bunny and his friends think that it's a cover, and Raghu is actually looking for the final missing piece for Project Talwar.
Mm-hmm.
Vishwa tells them to go to Belgrade. Meanwhile, Honey excels in her training, and Bunny finally brings her to Vishwa. Vishwa's a jerk.
He is so horrible.
Yeah.
He was already creepy, but
oh, yeah.
then this scene happened, and I was like, you are a bad guy, okay.
Yeah, it's like, this is when I really started. I was kind of like, I don't know how I feel about you, and now I'm like, ooh, you're scum.
Yeah.
Because Vishwa says that no woman has ever been part of the agency because he doesn't trust women. That's nice.
Just throw that out there. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like you didn't have to make it sexist, you jerk.
Yeah.
But you did.
Yeah.
Vishwa tells Bunny that until Honey proves herself, she'll be on a need-to-know basis. And if she or Bunny make any mistakes, Vishwa will throw Bunny back into the same dirty ditch he pulled him out of. And that's also, like, very clear, like, he's not the benevolent
no.
father figure that he makes himself out to be.
No, he's a very selfish
mm-hmm.
person.
Yeah. In 2000 Nainital, the bad guys searching Honey's house find a secret compartment with the deed to another property 124 miles away. They suspect that it's Honey's safe house, so they decide to go check it out. At the same time, Bunny and Chaco arrive at the bad guy base. They scramble the security cameras, they kill the guy standing outside, and then they grapple hook their way over the massive wall. They discover that Honey and Nadia aren't here, but they do find coordinates that were sent to the entire bad guy team, which could be where Honey is.
Mm-hmm.
Spoiler alert, it is. It's the location of the safe house. At that moment, reinforcements arrive for the bad guys, and they open fire. And of course, all bad guys are really bad shots,
exactly.
except for when it's important to the narrative.
Right. Yes. Yeah.
And Bunny and Chaco fight a lot. Then the head honcho bad guy, KD, arrives back at the base and starts fighting with Bunny, telling him that he should not have come back. KD almost strangles Bunny, but Bunny is able to get away by throwing a grenade at him, which KD definitely survives.
Yeah.
Bummer. Because he uses another guy's body as, like, a buffer.
Rude.
Yeah, yeah. Bunny and Chaco make it out, and they start driving toward Honey's coordinates, hoping they make it there in time.
Yeah.
That's the end of episode two.
Can you remind me, do we know that the bad guys at the bad guy base work for Zuni?
I don't think we know that.
Okay, okay.
I think we assume that.
Yeah, that's exactly why I was asking, because I was like, is that confirmed? Like, we don't actually know who these bad guys are.
Correct. Okay. I assumed that up until KD said, oh, you've returned. I think so. And based on what happens in episode three, I think that solidifies some stuff goes down.
Okay.
Yes.
I don't know. Did I forget? Okay. I don't know. Okay. Great. I can't wait for you to remind me what happens in this show called Honey Bunny.
Okay. Episode three, Spy Game. So now we are in 2000 near Nainatal. In the morning, Nadia wakes up to a nightmare of seeing Uncle Vivek dead on the floor.
Yes.
Fair. She's distraught. And Honey's like, okay, you have 2 minutes to cry, and then it's done. So Nadia cries, then she prays for Vivek, and then they move on emotionally.
Yeah, it's like, emotions are fine, but you have to get over them fast.
Yeah, which, again, in this life, yeah.
You do, yeah.
Then the bad guys arrive at the safe house. As they arrive, Honey is making food for Nadia, and Nadia tells Honey she wants to learn how to shoot. And Honey says she can once she's older. But at that moment, the motion detector that Honey had placed on her car, kind of back by the road, starts to go off, which is alerting her that there are people approaching the house.
Motion detected.
Oh, yeah. So Honey leaps into action, getting Nadia to hide in a chest, and she tells her to listen to a song, like, through her headphones and don't come out. And then Honey shuts the lid. And I love, like, I always love when a show does this, where then it's like, as the song plays, which is kind of like an upbeat, peppy song, Honey is just getting, like, multiple massive guns. Like, I like the discord between.
I like that it didn't actually kind of continue through the whole fight.
Because I did too.
I do feel like that discord is a little overdone. So it was just enough to be like, this is fun without it going sort of fully there.
Agreed. And I also like, so Honey also gets a sniper rifle that she sets up.
Yeah.
And I like, it kind of feels like a video game. And then it's as we fade out of, like, the video game music feel, like, okay, now we're back and it's a fight for your life.
Yeah, back in the serious, like, we're doing this.
Because it is. It's like, you need to kind of have that element of danger throughout this show.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Keep the stakes high.
Mm-hmm. But so Honey uses this sniper rifle to take out a few of the bad guys, but some of the other bad guys get into the house and she fights them a lot and she takes them all out. And then she grabs Nadia and they run. But as they're about to leave the house, the, like, second in command bad guy.
Yeah.
So, like,
the guy in the hat.
The guy in the hat. He's Nakul. He's in charge of this contingent of bad guys, but he answers to KD. KD is like the actual head bad guy of this group. But Nakul enters with a gun and he and Honey fight and he stabs her in the side and he tells her to give up or he'll kill her daughter, and she ends up kicking him over the second story railing. Huzzah.
Out of there.
Then Honey and Nadia take off and drive away as Nakul stumbles after them shooting.
I wanted to talk about the stunts in this movie quickly because the fight choreography is really, really good.
Really good.
I was impressed by, you know, there were several, like, cheated single shots. They did this in the opening, too, with Bunny's introduction, where they make you think that the actor is doing the stunts when they're not. And I just, I always, like, respect that. I think it's when it's well done and it looks so seamless, but you can tell, like, if you, you know, if you watch it too carefully, you can tell that it's not there or that it's a different person. I'm very impressed by it.
It's very good. Thanks for calling attention to that. It deserves it. Nakul calls KD and tells him that Honey got away, and KD lets him know that deserter Bunny is back on the scene. Katie and Nakul agree to meet at their headquarters in Mumbai.
I think I must have missed the Bunny the Traitor line.
Yeah, I think that really kind of, like, solidifies that what they're talking about, because it's like he deserted whatever person they're working for.
Yeah, I must have missed that because I, like, that
solidifies
that,
it.
That solidifies everything that I still felt very at sea about. I was trying to pay a lot of attention, but sometimes there are important lines in places that you're not expecting them to be.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's fair. And if you, like, look down at your phone and then back up, it's like, oh, what?
Yeah, and I try not to, but I'm just, sometimes I do, and I'm like, well, I'm sure that wasn't important. But then it's like, no, that actually set up, like, a whole thing.
And sometimes you just pick the exact wrong 2 seconds.
Yep, anyway.
Yeah, I've been there. And that's always why I'm like, it's fine. Kim's doing the recap. Yeah. She'll tell me what happens. So, yeah. Katie and Nakul. Okay, yeah. I said Kate. I was like, did I just say Katie?
It did sound like you said Katie.
Katie and Nakul agree to meet at their headquarters.
Katie and Nakul.
Katie and Nakul.
Just chilling. Just two ladies.
Okay. Katie and Nakul agree. The more I say it, the more wrong it sounds.
I know, you said it so perfectly the second time when I turned it into a joke, but you said it so perfectly.
Okay. Katie and Nakul agree to meet at their headquarters in Mumbai. Done. Bunny and Chaco arrive at the safe house and find the carnage. Mm-hmm. And Bunny says that this is not the same honey he trained.
No.
Whoa.
She's better.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Then we're back in 1992 Belgrade. Bunny knows that Raghu is going to meet with Zuni, and they have to find him and bug him before that meeting happens, mm-hmm. so that they can listen in. Enter Honey, who dresses up in a disguise and stages a run-in with Raghu at a cafe where she attaches a bug to his pant leg.
Yes.
Done.
Very smooth.
Back in 2000, off Nainital. Honey is driving, but she's also bleeding from the stab wound. It's not good.
Blood is draining fast from her stump leg.
Yes. She pulls over to the side of the road so she could take a nap, and she tells Nadia not to get out of the car under any circumstance. Mm-hmm. This is also a moment where I'm like, girl, you're not really taking a nap, are you?
No,
you're just going to pass out.
You're, like, going to die.
Yeah.
Also, there's a Christmas present in the back, or just a present in the back seat of this car, and I was like, I want to know what's in there.
Yeah, those poor people whose car got stolen.
They're just, like, on their way to a party, yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Nadia promises not to leave the car, but after Honey has fallen asleep, Nadia makes the astute observation that Honey's wound will get infected if she doesn't clean it, so she has to get out of the car.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Bunny and Chaco are hanging out at their car in the nearby town, and Bunny is going through Nadia's backpack, which was left behind at the safe house. He sees Nadia's photo, and he looks wistful, and then he and Chaco drive off just as Nadia walks into that very same town.
I really, you know, it's like they're building up to this, I want to see them reunite.
They really teased us with this one.
Yeah.
It's a slow burn in a different way than you normally experience.
Yeah. Slow burn family reunion.
Yeah. Nadia buys medicine and bandages at a store. I also love she just rattles off exactly what she needs.
Yeah. And the guy's just like, sure, kid. You got it.
And Honey wakes up while Nadia is gone, but then finds her walking alongside the road. So they're back together in the car. They're fine.
They make it seem like you don't know who's coming up on her.
I know. Then,
I was scared.
Very scary.
It's all good.
In 1992 Belgrade, Bunny's team tracks Raghu to the building where he's meeting Zuni, and they listen in, and Raghu tells Zuni that he's meeting with an old friend, and he'll take care of this himself. Her agents should not be around because they could spook his friend. Mm-hmm. Bunny's team decides that they need to figure out where and when Raghu is meeting this friend, and Honey says that she can get that information because she's already had an interaction with Raghu. In her disguise, she goes to Raghu's lecture. After the lecture, he meets briefly with a guy who gives him, like, a card of some sort. Mm-hmm. Bunny says that they'll have to get that from him. Honey then approaches Raghu and invites him to lunch with her, offering him South Indian food, which is this whole, like, funny exchange where Bunny tells her to offer South Indian food, and she does, but there's not any good South Indian food to, like, be had.
1990s Belgrade.
Yeah, and everyone's very skeptical, yeah. But she doubles down, and yeah, it's a whole funny thing. Raghu leaves the conference, but is tailed by some of Zuni's agents. So Bunny's team stages a car collision between Chaco and Ludo that gets in the way of the agents following Raghu. And this is also quite fun because yeah. Chaco and Ludo just have to, like, stage a fight between right. each other.
But no one knows what they're saying because they're speaking in Hindi. So they're just, yeah. like, shouting, like, nonsense at each other.
They're like, should we keep talking? Yes, they're not gone yet.
Is this also where they're driving and they lose signal for a minute? And
that was, like, when they were listening in. Yes.
in earlier. I just thought that was so funny because, like, you it never was. See that happen in spy shows. But I'm sure right. it does. And especially in the 90s. Like,
oh, yeah.
It yeah. just adds this little element of believability that I appreciate.
Well, it's so great because, like, in Citadel, the tech is absurd.
It's absurd, yes.
Which is why it's so funny when it's like, yeah, our, like, little listening device is being interfered with all the concrete buildings. Yeah.
Right, yeah.
It's great. So Raghu and Honey meet at this restaurant that is not a South Indian restaurant.
No.
But Ludo basically brings in a South Indian woman that he found. To cook a meal for them. It's absurd. And
all the people
it.
At the restaurant are just like, what? What is happening?
Yeah. So they eat, and Honey asks Raghu about his work. And he says that satellite monitoring technology is the key to peace in the future, mm-hmm. but it can also cause great harm in the wrong hands. As he's talking, Honey starts to get woozy. And I was like, what's happening here? Mm-hmm. And then she passes out.
She does.
We don't know why.
We don't. It did just occur to me, though. I was like, is she pregnant?
This soon? I mean, although she's training for a while.
Yeah, we don't know how. But anyway, I don't know. That's just a guess.
It is a guess. I mean, because I'm assuming.
One of many reasons that women might pass out.
Yeah, very true. I'm assuming Honey and Bunny are continuously sexually intimate throughout this time.
I would imagine so, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, why wouldn't you be?
Yeah, you're both
again,
hot.
Again, when you're that hot.
And you're, like, fighting, you're punching yeah. each other in the face.
I know. As we learned from Buffy, that can get very...
That's sexual.
Very
yeah.
sexual.
Maybe
yeah.
not in the healthiest way, but, you know. Yeah. So, yeah, in 2000, Honey finds a place for her and Nadia to stay for the night, and then she cleans and dresses her wound. And Honey and Nadia then get into a fight where Honey makes Nadia stare at the wall as punishment because she left the car after promising not to. But Nadia argues that the situation changed after the promise was made and she adapted to it just like Honey has taught her.
Yeah.
And I also love that Nadia's like, fine, don't take the medicine. Because it's like, yeah, I mean, Honey needed
like,
that.
You know I did the right thing.
Yeah. Yeah. In 1992, Belgrade... Vishwa arrives to meet with the team, but Honey is nowhere to be found. And it turns out that Bunny was not expecting Vishwa to show up. But Vishwa says that this mission is too important for him not to be here. He then introduces Bunny to his newest agent, KD, mm-hmm. and he says that he'll be joining the mission. And this is when it's like, uh-oh.
Yeah. Something bad's gonna go down.
Yep. Vishwa then asks Bunny where Honey is, but Bunny doesn't have an answer for that, which also made me nervous because when I at first I was like, well, maybe Ludo intentionally knocked Honey out for some reason.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, it wasn't these guys.
Right.
Katie offers to check her last known location and Bunny puts him in his place and is like, nope, this is my mission. You go where I tell you to. And on their own, Bunny's friends comfort him that Honey will be okay. In 2000, Bunny tries to make a call, but there's no response. But then the phone rings, and it's Ludo. Yay.
Yay.
Bunny tells him that it's an emergency, and Ludo is the only person who can help him. Ludo asks what he needs, and Bunny answers that he needs information, but if Ludo decides to help him, Ludo will have to disappear because he would need to betray Vishwa. Ludo responds, "What's the job?"
Mm-hmm.
Gotta love friendship.
Yeah.
And Bunny asks him to send him copies of all of Vishwa's files. Then we see Honey, who picks up a cell phone that she stole from one of the dead bad guys. And she places a call that Vishwa answers. She does not respond to his, like, greeting. And then Vishwa says, "You betrayed us all, Honey." He then says he never trusted her in the first place. And Honey says that she just did what she thought was right. Vishwa says that she put on a good show for 8 years pretending she was dead, but he never believed that. Honey asks him what she has to do, and he says that she needs to return something that she took from him. If she doesn't, he'll come after someone very, very close to her heart.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the end of episode 3. That's where we leave it.
I forgot that happened.
Fair.
I think I also, I should have watched them a little separately from each other. I watched them back to back, and I should have given myself a little bit of time to process things in between, because I'm definitely like, I remember watching that, but I don't remember like processing fully the implications of it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm so into it. I will say, I really hope that we don't have to wait till the very end of the season for the reunion between Honey and Bunny and...
I'm hoping
Bunny
not.
Nadia. Because it's like, you know, I don't know. I was thinking about like the season one of The Witcher.
you're waiting
the whole time, and then it's like the last shot, and it's like, but I want to see them interact now.
Right. Yeah. No, I agree. I'm hoping that that happens in like episode 4 or at least 5.
Yeah. Like, give us a little bit of time.
Yeah. And I'm like really excited because right now it's like they're setting us up for what could be very straightforward, where it's like, okay, Vishwa's the bad guy, and then Bunny betrayed Vishwa for a reason because Vishwa's the bad guy, and maybe Zuni's the good one all along. Or is it something way more complicated than that?
Right, yeah. And again, like, where is Citadel in all of this? Like, where, how is this going to connect to that larger political agency story?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I'm excited to find out. I do feel like there's going to continue to be this theme of like, okay, yeah, like maybe there was this betrayal, but Zuni probably isn't all good. Like there's so much like complexity in terms of like, who are the good guys, who are the bad guys, which is something that I think you don't always see. It's often very cut and dry. So I think it's nice when there's some ambiguity.
It's nice. It keeps you on your toes. It keeps you guessing. It keeps you want to keep watching.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Well, and then I'm just like, wondering about the importance of Nadia, and is she really just being sought as a tool to get Honey to reveal what she knows, or is there something else about her, or, you know, like,
you think she's the chosen one?
Who knows, you know? Because like, they were going to get her when they already had Honey. And they could have just been getting her as like a, we're gonna torture your,
like,
child
to torture. Yeah, but I mean, I think it's good to take note of those kind of things because, who knows what could be happening.
I'm also like, is Raghu a good guy?
I know, and I think it's so interesting, too. Like, we see how much what he says resonates with Honey. Mm-hmm. Like, she seems really taken in by his speech at the restaurant, and then she starts to, like, pass out. And I'm like, what's going on there?
Who made her pass out?
Yeah, and where is she now? I feel she's with him. And he's, like, going to take care of her, and they're going to get closer, and, like, she's going to start to question everything.
Yeah.
That's my prediction.
Oh, man. I'm really excited. I'm excited that we recorded, and now we can watch.
I know. Me too. It's like, now, the integrity of the podcast has been maintained, and now...
Yeah. Yeah.
Now we can watch what's next.
Perfect. So, no Bollywood news this week. Moving on to pluggables. Mm-hmm. Follow us at Two White Girls Talk Bollywood on Instagram. I'm going to get back into the swing of things. It's going to happen. I feel good about this week.
Yeah, I do too.
So follow us on Instagram. Do what you do there. And also consider subscribing to us on whatever podcast platform you listen to us on. You could also think about leaving a rating or review on whatever podcast platform you listen to us on. But as always, thank you so much for listening.
Thanks indeed. And join us as well on YouTube and Spotify, where we keep our Bollywood bangers playlists and add the songs from the movies that we watch, favorite songs, to those playlists, which you'll find linked in our episode descriptions as well as in our Instagram posts.
When they happen.
Yeah.
Wow. And that would be normally when we say what we're watching next week, but it's yeah, we know that we're watching the second half of Honey Bunny.
Yeah, and very excited about it. I do, though, think it will be very important to announce now, in this moment, what a way for me to set this up. I got a little bit distracted by my own words. Next week is our 100th episode.
Wow. Yeah. I knew we were coming up on it, but I wasn't sure when.
Yeah, ooh, next week. So, I mean, we're not really going to do anything to celebrate, but our 101st episode will, you know, we'll talk more about thoughts overarchingly.
Yeah. Wow. That's true. That's great.
Yeah.
I'm proud of us.
Me too. We're awesome.
We'll talk about more about how awesome we think we are in our year in review episode.
And if you don't want to listen to that, you don't have to.
Yeah, no.
You know we're awesome. That's why you're here.
Exactly. But yeah, so great. Oh, go now. What are you waiting for? Watch episodes 4 through 6 of Honey Bunny.
Yeah.
And find the answers, hopefully, maybe, to all the questions you have.
Probably some answers to some questions and then more questions with no answers.
Yeah.
To keep accurate. Us watching. But some answers.
Some answers, which is better than none.
Yes.
And until next time. Remember, Bollywood doesn't need us.
No.
But we need Bollywood.
We do.
Yeah, and more Honey Bunny.
I'm so excited.
Me too.
Let's just stop recording right now and go run and watch it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I might. Yeah. Yep. Cool. Bye.
Bye.